This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Friday, April 8th, 2022. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us on this Friday morning on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's good to be with you. Now, a week from today is Good Friday. We're only a couple of days away from the start of Holy Week on Palm Sunday. You can complete your Lenten journey with our special presentation, Close to Jesus to the Last, a five-day spiritual walkthrough of Jesus' final days before His Passion. With Father Rocky's guidance, we'll pause for an hour at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central every day to ponder the events that draw Jesus to Jerusalem, exploring each with specially selected music and prayers. Join Father Rocky for Close to Jesus for the Last. He's been doing it for years. It is outstanding. It's a reverent transition from Lent to Easter next week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And just a reminder, there's still plenty of time this weekend to make it a good Lent. If you do nothing else, try to get to confession before Good Friday. On Fridays, especially here in Lent, we always remember the Sacred Heart of Jesus as well as the Passion and Death of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you can, try to spend a few minutes today meditating on the way of the cross. You can do it in private or attend the Stations of the Cross at your nearby parish. We begin every show, every hour in prayer, and especially continue to pray for peace in Ukraine with Russia, asking our Lord through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Mother of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, and co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on the show when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And as we do every morning, our power scripture from the playbook of life is from 1 Peter 2:24. The Apostle St. Peter writes, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. St. Peter reminds us that our Lord Jesus Christ willingly died on the cross for our sins, that we might die to our sins and live for His grace unto eternal life. This verse ends by quoting Isaiah 53:5, By His wounds you have been healed. As Catholic Christians, we've been healed from the penalty and the power of our sins by our Lord Jesus Christ's wounds, by His death in our place, by His suffering for our good. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in You. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. Now, as we've been talking about all during the season of Lent, this is a season in the desert with Jesus. Lent is all about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. How's your almsgiving going so far here this Lent? This is your reminder to do it today or this weekend before Good Friday. Almsgiving is not only about donating money. Yeah, that is good, but you need to also donate your time and talent. You can volunteer at your parish, or you can donate your time and talent with an organization. And we're about to talk about an organization that we recommend. Joining us now from Pompton Lakes, New Jersey, Cecilia Quintero, the CEO of Funca Soul USA Foundation, to discuss almsgiving during during Lent. Good morning, Cecilia. Welcome to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you this morning.
Good morning, John Morales. Yes, thank you so much for your interview. First, I'd like to talk about our foundation and what we, do. So, Funca Sola is a nonprofit organization which advocates for humanitarian aid, and its corporate purpose, among others, is the development of self-sustainable, productive social projects that last in time and space in the Caribbean countries, Central and South America, always seeking the welfare of communities that are in very high degree of vulnerability and helplessness. In its social purpose, Funca Sola works in five fundamental pillars in the framework of any society, which is its scope in order that are the spiritual, social, environmental, business, political pillars. Its work focuses primarily on bringing the message of salvation to the nations through humanitarian aid and the development of projects and social programs. So do you ever wonder why, how families going through war are able to make it back into society, how to learn, how to forgive, so how to improve people's lives? So that's what our foundation focuses on. Colombia has been going through more than 50 years of a conflict of war. And so what we do is we have had these communities where we help women who have been widowed with their children orphaned by the murder of their parents. So we give them a hot meal and place where they can bathe, change, and wash their clothes. And to leave clean, give them food, and to speak the message of salvation and emphasize the need to forgive in order to heal their bodies and save their souls. With the smaller groups, they're taught manual labor, things they can do with their hands, and go out to sell to support themselves and their children. Of the groups that have been attended, which are very numerous, we do a filter, since there are neither the physical conditions nor the infrastructure nor the economic resources to help everyone. We select those who are more receptive to the Word of God, who have even come to forgive their victimizers, thus healing the wounds of their hearts. In this way, the wounds of their hearts are healed and they are more easily prepared to face the new life that awaits them. Because all their lives have been dedicated to the field, it is only thing that they know how to do. And overnight, because of these illegal armed groups, they are forcibly displaced from their lands, leaving their homes, their animals, their land, and their livestock, leaving their houses, their animals, hens, chickens, pigs, all their crops. Everything has been lost in what seems like a nightmare. They're only allowed to run away with what they're wearing at the time of displacement, and other men who are managed to flee before being killed. So what happened, Sudan is the first country that's been displaced all over the world, and then after that follows Colombia. So what we do is we build communities to make families stronger by reducing violence, and with our social projects and humanitarian aid, we help these families become stronger and help them get out of that feeling of helplessness. So we bring the word of salvation to them, of God, the gospel. And that's how we heal them. Also with therapy, we give them therapy and help them to get back into society. So then what we do is after we help them out with all this therapy that they get, we use our social projects to help them. We're doing the solar energy right now. It's called IPSU Energy and Technologies. And this is energy project that will give us a zero net energy design in a small municipality in Colombia to show the viability of this concept, which will serve as a blueprint to replicate the zero net energy communities throughout the Caribbean, Central and South America. Along with this energy project, we are working also with Enviro Builders, which is a construction. They're smart stealers. It's an American technology company, and it's for housing, manufacturing, construction in the countries like Colombia, as well as in Central and South America, where Funca Sola has presence and interest in bringing this technology to allow greater speed for the construction process. We also have other. These projects that we have is the successful impact that we have, our organization, because all these humanitarian aid projects, we work with the people, and then, of course, we're giving them housing, we're giving them solar energy, we're giving them telecommunications like TV, phones, Wi-Fi. so they could come out of the darkness with the solar energy. And so we're helping all these communities. Like, that's how we build them.
Well, Cecilia, it sounds like your organization, Funcasol, is doing a fantastic work. And as you described the plight of so many of the people in Sudan, and especially in Colombia, which is very dear to my heart. My family, I'm 100% Colombian from Boyacá.
Oh, okay.
And so really hits home, obviously. In fact, I witnessed the effects of war myself. You know, I was always very concerned about my dad, who lived near Duitama in Boyacá. He was a judge. And, you know, with all the wars that have been going on for years, there's always that danger of assassinations and, you know, getting kidnapped, especially if you're a judge in a court. And, I mean, that's just one example. And so I know that there's a lot of issues going on that's been going on for a long time in Colombia, really a humanitarian crisis. And as you're describing it, it reminds me a little bit, obviously, not the same scale as what's the crisis that's going on in Ukraine due to that war, although this is a much more smaller scale war by comparison. But the women obviously need your help. How can our listeners help in any way here during Lent if they want to open up their heart and help with the great work that Funcasol is doing?
Yes, they can donate to our webpage, which is www.funcasolusa.org. There's a donate button there. They can help us with that, and they can volunteer if they'd like. We have somebody that's volunteering right now, and here in the United States, we have exchange projects where any student from anywhere or anybody that would like to from any country can come to, you know, they can do an exchange program where they can volunteer to work on projects. They can also help us with these projects. And then, as you know, the secretary from the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen, she also warned a House panel on Wednesday that Russia's aggression in the Eastern Europe will have enormous economic repercussions. She also touched on the need for food and energy security and the debt sustainability globally, and included a request to Congress to provide support to the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank organizations, which, you know, they provide grants and humanitarian funds financing to the world's poorest and most vulnerable. Now, I know the banks are sometimes take a little longer because of all the paperwork and the channels that you have to get through to get the funding. But if anybody out there would like to help Funcasol USA, that would be great, and that would help us. Also, we have another project called Food for the Poor, which we've already been sending food to Africa. And just like the Secretary of the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen, just warned us that we have a food and energy security.
Well, we're going to have to leave it right there, Cecilia. But again, for our listeners, they can go to funcasolusa.org to open up their hearts, to help in whatever way they can, financially or in any way that they can, especially here. It's a great way to give alms during Lent. Thanks so much, Cecilia,
for
being with us. Many blessings to you and your organization, Funcasol.
For the interview. Thank you.
Thank you. Cecilia Quintero, the CEO of Funcasol USA Foundation. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, we'll talk about Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ movie to get us ready for Holy Week with Family Playland founder Juan Carlos Sanchez. Stay with us as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. This hour brought to you in part by Father Stew, starring Mark Wahlberg along with Mel Gibson, exclusively in movie theaters nationwide on April 13, rated R, under 17, not admitted without a parent. You are listening to the beautiful music from the soundtrack of The Passion of the Christ. More in a moment. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ has touched millions of hearts since its release back in 2004. It's been called the most powerful film ever produced about the life and Death of Jesus. It's the highest grossing independent film of all time, grossing nearly $612 million in worldwide ticket sales since its release. In fact, many families, it's become a tradition to watch during Holy Week, including my family. Listen to part of the trailer from The Passion of the Christ. He was wounded for our sins. Suffered for our trespasses. Crushed for our iniquities. His message was love. And now joining us is corporate entrepreneur Juan Carlos Sanchez, the founder of Family Playland, for more on The Passion of the Christ. Juan Carlos has a career record in international and Hispanic media and entertainment industries, working for such well-known brands as Colgate, Palmolive, Visa, Sony, and NBCU. Good morning, Juan Carlos. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's great to be with you again on this Friday of Passion Week.
Good morning, John. How are you? And good morning to all your audience. Thank you for having me.
Counting my blessings, doing well. I love talking about this movie. In fact, just preparing and listening and watching the trailer and some of the music, it gets me emotional. I get fired up watching this. In fact, I remember the first time I ever saw the trailer, I just started crying. It just touched the depths of my heart. Juan Carlos, from your perspective, why is the Passion of the Christ such a great movie, especially to watch and reflect on here during the upcoming Holy Week?
It's a tradition, as you mentioned, through time, right? So in Hollywood and throughout history, this is the story of stories. The Bible is the story of stories, right? So Hollywood has always had this obsession of showing in the best way this story, the most deeper and highly production value. Even before The Passion of Christ, you had so many big titles coming via cinema or television around the world. And it just tells us and connects us back to our Lord and just let us see how he was, like, you know, went through the most horrible, horrendous punishment that the Romans could have ever invented. And he was, tortured, and he went through the most horrendous humiliation just for our redemption. And he just transcended agony to do that. So as the Lamb, he's basically showing that this is something that he was sent by his Father to for us. And that's why we connect so well to it. It's just an audiovisual way to understand what he went through, and that's why we all connect and go back to him over and over again every year.
And Juan Carlos, according to biblical scholars, the movie tried to depict the suffering of Jesus in his passion, but they say that it may have actually been even worse. And when you consider some of those graphic scenes, especially in the scourging of Christ, at what age do you think it's appropriate for young kids to watch? Because this was definitely a question in our family when my son was little.
Yes, we know this is an R-rated, like Hollywood had to put some sort of classification, but I think we as parents have to have the judgment and criteria to sit our kids in front of this. So I've personally had my family watch it, my little kids, probably around the age of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and I mean, they'll get it. I mean, they will. There's some scenes probably that they'll get a little bit scared because there's some snakes and some ugly babies being shown up by Mel Gibson, which is an artistic touch that he tried to put into color attention to the dark side of things. But I think it's every parent's judgment. I just think that it's a reality. I think there's older things out there in our culture that are worse than this, that our kids sometimes are being exposed. So I believe this is a good opportunity to get the family together and show them a little bit of our religion and what's that important part of the religion, the most important chapter, the last minutes and hours of our Lord. And this is at the core of our faith and what distinguishes our faith from other faiths out there. So I think it's important for us to be able at least to try and, you know, judge it and make the call.
Absolutely. I mean, the movie is very Catholic, although many, many other Christians obviously have watched this movie. It's very Eucharistic. There's a scene on the Last Supper, the institution of the Holy Eucharist. But what really touches me, I think, and touches so many hearts is the relationship between Jesus and his mother, our Blessed Mother Mary. There's some scenes in there that, my goodness, you need Kleenex just to watch them, Juan Carlos.
Yes, definitely. Like to see our mother at his feet and to see the acts of love that Jesus has through an entire movie is just outstanding. The presence of Our Lady there just makes it very Catholic. It just puts that seal of Catholicism into it because it does give that great protagonist. Show Mary is the big protagonist of this story. So it's absolutely amazing to see this relationship evolve through the entire movie.
Absolutely. And of course, Jim Caviezel. Who could have played Jesus better than Jim Caviezel? He was unbelievable. But there was a lot of things that went on behind the scenes. There was spiritual warfare, that big heavy cross dislocated his shoulder. He got accidentally whipped a couple of times during the scourging. I mean, he went through a lot, Juan Carlos.
There's a lot of supernatural aspects of the movie that I was not even aware after many years of watching it. And as you mentioned, there were a lot of conversions. It looked like at one point there were a lot of difficulties for people to produce the movie, all the way from the financing of the movie to the criticism. And it's the biggest blockbuster out there, over, I think, $700 million in revenue generating the box office. It's outstanding. It's one of the top five movies, if not the top three movie in the world in terms of box office. Very successful movie.
Absolutely. And there's so many things, and we just don't have time to get into all the different things that went on behind the scenes. But I thought it was interesting that the actress who played the Blessed Mother Mary was actually pregnant during the movie.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. And there's a lot of titles that we're bringing Family Playland. We're putting actually a specific collection for this next week. Well, you'll find a lot of inspiration about our mother, the Pope. So visit Family Playland to find more content related and ready for the Holy Week.
It sounds great. Well, it's been a joy to talk about this movie. Highly recommend anyone who's listening, if you have the DVD or if you want to watch it online in the upcoming days here leading up to Good Friday, it's a tremendous way to prepare our hearts for the reality of what Good Friday is really all about. Juan Carlos, thank you as always for being with us. I so much appreciate all the great work that you're doing with Family Playland, bringing these family movies that are so needed in this day and time.
Thank you so much, John, and it's a pleasure as always. Let's continue to do this in the future.
Absolutely. Juan Carlos Sanchez, the founder of Family Playland. For more, you can go to familyplayland.com. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Bishop Daniel Muggenberg will look ahead to this Sunday's gospel for Palm Sunday. So stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
Coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air on another Friday dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'm John Morales. It's good to be with you. And now it's time to look ahead to this Sunday's gospel. Listen carefully as Bishop Daniel Muggenberg, Bishop of Reno, Nevada, shares his weekly reflection on this Sunday's gospel with our very own Glenn Leverance.
Our gospel reading for this Palm Sunday comes from Luke chapter 22, verse 14 through chapter 23, verse 56. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at table with the apostles. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it again until there is fulfillment in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you that from this time on, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for you. And yet, behold, the hand of the one who is to betray me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man indeed goes, as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to debate among themselves who among them would do such a deed. Then an argument broke out among them about which of them should be regarded as the greatest. He said to them, The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are addressed as benefactors. But among you it shall not be so. Rather let the greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one seated at table, or the one who serves? Is it not the one seated at table? I am among you as the one who serves. It is you who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer a kingdom on you, just as my Father has conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed that your own faith may not fail. And once you've turned back, you must strengthen your brothers. He said to him, Lord, I am prepared to go to prison and die with you. But he replied, I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows this day, you will deny three times that you know me. He said to them, When I sent you forth without a money bag or a sack or sandals, were you in need of anything? No, nothing, they replied. He said to them, But now one who has a money bag should take it, and likewise a sack. And one who does not have a sword should sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, namely, he was counted among the wicked, and indeed what is written about me is coming to fulfillment. Then they said, Lord, look, there are two swords here. But he replied, It is enough. Then going out he went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, Pray that you may not undergo the test. After withdrawing about a stone's throw from them and kneeling, he prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still, not my will, but yours, be done. And to strengthen him, an angel from heaven appeared to him. He was in such agony and prayed so fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. When he rose from prayer and returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping from grief. He said to them, Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not undergo the test. While he was still speaking, a crowd approached, and in front was one of the 12, a man named Judas. He went up to Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? His disciples realized what was about to happen, and they asked, Lord, shall we strike with a sword? And one of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said in reply, Stop, no more of this. Then he touched the servant's ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and temple guards and elders who had come for him, Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? Day after day I was with you in the temple area, and you did not seize me. But this is your hour, the time for the power of darkness. After arresting him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter sat down with them. When a maid saw him seated in the light, she looked intently at him and said, This man too was with him. But he denied it, saying, Woman, I do not know him. A short while later, someone else saw him and said, You too are one of them. But Peter answered, My friend, I am not. About an hour later, still another insisted, Assuredly, this man too was with him, for he is also a Galilean. But Peter said, My friend, I do not know what you were talking about. Just as he was saying this, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and began to weep bitterly. The men who held Jesus in custody were ridiculing and beating him. They blindfolded him and questioned him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that struck you? And they reviled him in saying many other things against him. When day came, the council of elders of the people met, both chief priests and scribes, and they brought him before their Sanhedrin. And they said, If you are the Christ, tell us. But he replied to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question, you will not respond. But from this time on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further need have we for testimony? We have heard it from his own mouth." Then the whole assembly of them arose and brought him before Pilate. They brought charges against him, saying, "We found this man misleading our people. He opposes the payment of taxes to Caesar and maintains that he is the Christ, a king." Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He said to him in reply, "You say so." Pilate then addressed the chief priests and crowds, "I find this man not guilty." But they were adamant and said, "He is inciting the people with his teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee, where he began, even to here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. And upon learning that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very glad to see Jesus. He had been wanting to see him for a long time, for he had heard about him and had been hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at length, but he gave no answer. The chief priests and scribes, meanwhile, stood by accusing him harshly. Herod and his soldiers treated him contemptuously and mocked him. And after clothing him in resplendent garb, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends that very day, even though they'd been enemies formerly. Pilate then summoned the chief priests, the rulers, and the people and said to them, "You brought this man to me and accused him of inciting the people to revolt. I have conducted my investigation in your presence, and I have not found this man guilty of the charges that you have brought against him, nor did Herod, for he sent him back to us. So no capital crime has been committed by him. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him." But altogether they shouted out, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Now Barabbas had been imprisoned for a rebellion that had taken place in the city, and for murder. Again Pilate addressed them, still wishing to release Jesus, but they continued their shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate addressed them a third time, "What evil has this man done? I found him guilty of no capital crime, therefore I shall have him flogged and then release him." With loud shouts, however, they persisted in calling for his crucifixion, and their voices prevailed. The verdict of Pilate was that their demand should be granted. So he released the man who'd been imprisoned for rebellion and murder, for whom they asked, and he handed Jesus over to them to deal with as they wished. As they led him away, they took hold of a certain Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country. After laying the cross on him, they made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed Jesus, including many women who mourned and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and for your children, for indeed the days are coming when people will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' At that time people will say to the mountains, 'Fall upon us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if these things are done when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Now two others, both criminals, were led away with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They divided his garments by casting lots. The people stood and watched. The rulers, meanwhile, sneered at him and said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the king of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, because of an eclipse of the sun. Then the veil of the temple was torn down the middle. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion who witnessed what had happened glorified God and said, "This man was innocent beyond doubt." When all the people who had gathered for this spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances stood at a distance, including the women who'd followed him from Galilee and saw these events. Now there was a virtuous and righteous man named Joseph, who, though he was a member of the council, had not consented to their plan of action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea and was awaiting the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. After he had taken the body down, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a rock-hewn tomb in which no one had yet been buried. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who'd come from Galilee and followed behind, and when they had seen the tomb and the way in which his body was laid in it, they returned and prepared spices and perfumed oils. Then they rested on the Sabbath, according to the commandment. Time now to dive into Sunday's Gospel reading for Palm Sunday, the reading out of Luke 22, verse 14 through chapter 23, verse 56. Bishop Daniel Muggenberg from the Diocese of Reno joins us for that look once again. Always great to have you along, Bishop Muggenberg.
And really great to be with you, especially as we prepare for Holy Week.
So many deep and rich things, of course, in the Passion story of our Lord, that long reading for this Sunday. But we want to focus on some of the truly amazing things Jesus does in terms of being merciful and helping others right in the midst of everything that he's going through.
That's true. You know, throughout Luke's gospel, Jesus has been teaching us what it means to live in the kingdom of God. And now as Jesus himself is entering into this summit moment of his own ministry through his death and resurrection, our Lord is showing us what it looks like to put that teaching into practice and to be merciful, especially when it's not convenient.
Being merciful is something, of course, he's excellent at. And what great examples. We think of it as God. He knows what's going to happen. He knows Peter is going to betray him, and yet he remains loyal to Peter.
It is so touching at the Last Supper that as Peter is boasting of, you know, his self-confidence, which, by the way, is his setup for failure, as Peter is boasting, Jesus is wanting to do everything he can to prepare Peter for the fact that he's going to fail. But he doesn't want that failure to be the last answer. He wants Peter to remember our Lord's love for him and his open door and his desire for reconciliation. So even as Peter is just arrogantly, you know, pronouncing his self-confidence, Jesus is already reaching out to Peter to prepare the path for his repentance. That is beautiful. And it's certainly an instruction for us, you know, when we deal with people who are going to let us down, to love them enough to prepare that path for repentance before they even fail.
That's quite amazing. But Peter was there denying him, but yet Jesus had mercy for those that were doing physical harm and trying to arrest him.
He did. Even in the garden, you know, when Peter pulls out his sword and cuts off the ear of the servant, Jesus chooses to heal in the midst of his own arrest. So Jesus is caring for other people's suffering, even as he himself is, you know, having his rights violated and being imprisoned unjustly. But rather than turning it on him, he keeps his eyes looking around him to see who are the other people who need mercy. And then he heals them in the midst of that incredible, distressful moment that he's going through.
This is something, the next point, I must admit, never really paying that close of attention to, but in terms of even being in the proximity of our Lord, good things can happen in terms of a reconciliation between a couple of bad guys.
Herod and Pilate. Luke's gospel is really fascinating in that it records that Pilate sent Jesus to Herod when he found out that he was from Galilee, or a Galilean, and that after meeting Herod, we are told that from that moment forward, Herod and Pilate were reconciled because they had been at enmity with each other. That tells us that Jesus is the means of reconciliation, even for the people who our Lord could have considered his enemies, you know, the people who were arresting him and putting him on trial. And yet he cared for their wounded friendship. And he restored that, even as he himself is being unjustly condemned. Again, it really shows us such a profound focus on the needs of others, the selflessness of Jesus, that love that cares for other people's salvation, no matter who they are, no matter what mistakes they're making. And Jesus is putting this into action before us in his passion.
Bishop Daniel Muggenberg from the Diocese of Reno, Nevada, with us, taking a look at Sunday's Gospel for Palm Sunday, Luke chapter 22, verse 14 through Luke chapter 23, verse 56, but we're focusing kind of on the ministry that Jesus is able and willing to do in the midst of his passion. He's not yet on the cross, but he's carrying his cross, comes across weeping women, and still has compassion for them.
This is one of my favorite of the Stations of the Cross, by the way, because, you know, we're always told about the women who are weeping for Jesus. And Luke's gospel then goes out of his way to say that Jesus stopped and spoke to them. And he spoke to them in a way that, you know, didn't say, pity me, or, you know, go rally the troops to get revenge for me. But he spoke to them instead in a way that was consoling them in the midst of their sorrow. He was actually ministering to the women when he spoke to them carrying his cross. I think that's really challenging because, you know, I don't know about you, but when I have to carry the cross in the midst of the day, it's oftentimes, sadly so, but it can be an occasion for self-concern or even self-pity. But Jesus is showing us that concern that looks out for others and their sorrow, and it always has the ability to minister them even though he himself is suffering.
Yes, we're often cranky. We're in the midst of our own troubles, especially when we encounter others. We don't want anything to do with them, much less have the energy to console them. But what a beautiful example from our Lord. Our society doesn't make it popular to love your enemy. That even back then was one of the most upending thoughts that our Lord taught about. But to be able to do it while you're being crucified, what an amazing example.
Those words of Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," even as they're driving the nails into his hands. Even when I was a young child, you know, I just marveled that Jesus would pray for their forgiveness as they were in the process of doing that to him. And yet when we look to some of the 20th century martyrs, especially those who suffered, you know, under communist regimes or in concentration camps, we see these witnesses echoing our Lord's mercy and our Lord's prayer for their persecutors in a very heroic way. So Jesus is modeling for us how to love our enemies, as he commanded us to do in the Sermon on the Plain just a few weeks ago. And certainly the first martyr of the church, St. Stephen, will also echo our Lord's words in forgiving his executioners as well. So Jesus is modeling how Christians respond to persecution with forgiveness rather than with vengeance or retaliation.
Whether it's the fabulous movie Jesus of Nazareth or many live passion plays I've seen through the years, that moment stuck with me always from a young age on and forever, asking the Lord to forgive them in the midst of all of this. Just incredible. And then while hanging on the cross, our Lord still doing ministry to bring others with him into eternity.
Now, this is really instructive for us because, of course, Jesus has completed all of his earthly ministry at this point. And it would have been easy for him just to say, you know what, Father, it's done. I've accomplished what you sent me to do. And into your hands I commend my spirit. But at that moment, he has a conversation with the good thief. And it's not just a conversation, but it's Jesus reaching out to bring the good thief to accept the gift of salvation, even in the final breath of his life. And that shows that Jesus desires the salvation of everyone. He desires that no one be lost, but that everyone receive the good news of the gospel and the offer of eternal life with the Father. And so Jesus is ministering even as he himself is breathing his last breath. Now, that's really powerful because I certainly hope that we all have that spirit for of evangelization and of care for our neighbor's soul that allows nothing to stop us, no inconvenience, no burden to ever prevent us from caring for their eternal salvation. As Pope Francis has told us, we are not saved as individuals. We are saved as a people of God. And so when we care for one another and one another's salvation, we're living out that communal salvation that God wants us to experience.
Just love this on the heels of doing an interview talking about limits and self-care and not overburdening ourselves by helping others too much. There was no too much for our Lord. And to Bishop Muggenberg, that has to be one of the most hopeful scenes in all of Scripture for us to know that at the last moment, it's still possible.
Well, yes, it is. And yet it's also a theme that we need to be very cautious of, because some people have abused that particular theme to think that they can wait till the last minute and that they can then choose the timing of their salvation. Jesus warned us throughout Luke's gospel how important it is to respond to the day of the Lord's visitation, whenever that visitation may happen in our lives. For many of us, most of us, the day of the Lord's visitation happens either in our childhood or our early adult years or in the course of ordinary life. And any time that we turn down that invitation, we are risking turning away from the opportunity of our salvation. We can't plan on the fact that we can always have that last moment to accept that gift. So I want to just caution that while Jesus' mercy does show us that he is capable of granting that day of visitation at absolutely any moment in a person's life, we need to always be responding whenever that visitation occurs in our lives and not delay our response.
Amen to that. Another beautiful reflection for this Palm Sunday. Bishop Muggenberg, if you'd be so kind as to wrap us up with your blessing this week.
The Lord be with you. And may the blessing of Almighty God, who accomplished his greatest works of ministry in his final moments of life, always inspire us to be merciful as the Father is merciful. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Bishop Muggenberg. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Sound of Church Bells by Walter Baxendale. In 1799, the armies of Napoleon appeared on the heights above the town of Feldkirch, Austria. It was Easter Day, and the rays of the rising sun glittered on the weapons of the French as they appeared drawn up on the hills to the west of the town. The town council was hastily called together to consult what was to be done. After much discussion, the dean of the church rose and said, "My brothers, it's Easter Day. We have been reckoning our own strength, and that fails. Let us turn to God, ring the bells, and have service as usual, and leave the matter in God's hands." They agreed to do as he said. Then from the church towers in Feldkirch rang out joyous peals in honor of the resurrection, in the streets filled with worshipers hastening to the church. The French heard the sudden ringing of the joyous bells with surprise and alarm. They concluded the Austrian army had arrived to relieve the place. So they hastily fled, and before the bells had ceased ringing, not a Frenchman was to be seen. Ephesians 6:10 reminds us finally, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might."
A great reminder, powerful reminder. Love that scripture, Glenn. Thanks so much, as always. Also want to remind you that Holy Week starts with Palm Sunday this coming Sunday, and you can complete your Lenten journey with our special presentation called Close to Jesus to the Last. It's a five-day spiritual walkthrough of Jesus' final days before his passion. With Father Rocky's guidance, we'll pause for an hour at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central every day next week to ponder the events that draw Jesus to Jerusalem, exploring each with some beautiful, selected, special music and some special prayers. Join Father Rocky for Close to Jesus to the Last, a reverent transition from Lent to Easter. This will be going on next week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Catholic attorney Mary Helen Fiorito will tell us about the Oklahoma legislature that passed a near-total abortion ban and what other states are doing as well. Plus, Dr. Pat Castle, the president and founder of Life Run, will be with us to discuss defending life from ashes to Easter. Stay with us. There's much more conversation next hour here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.